RadioSaintPete.com film critic Charlie Jewell reviews Ant-Man and the Wasp, now playing in area theaters.
The first Ant-Man and his follow-up appearance in Captain America: Civil War proved the little guy was a worthy addition to the Avengers. However, why does the size shifter merit two standalone films while someone like Black Widow remains a backbencher? The visual effects possibilities are juicier, jumping between the micro and the macro, but these gimmicks do not ensure a story up to the challenge of carrying a Marvel film. There are five men credited as writers on Ant-Man and the Wasp, and they formed a plot focused on a rescue with suspicious time constraints and an afterthought villain, whose only purpose is to make the rescue suspenseful. Ant-Man and the Wasp is not necessarily a step backward, but there is nothing new to discover, even though a female superheroine finally gets her name above the fold in the title. Director Peyton Reed picks up a thread left dangling by the first Ant-Man. Dr. Hank Pym's wife, Janet Van Dyne, played by Michelle Pfeiffer, disabled her regulator and went into the quantum realm some number of decades ago, and has been lost down there ever since. It looks like the 1960s. However, her daughter, Hope Van Dyne, played by Evangeline Lilly, would be much older than she is in the present day if the timelines were truly accurate. Hank, played by Michael Douglas, and Hope, may have figured out a way to locate Janet, shrink down, find her, and bring her back. The exposition involved in this hypothetical process is the script's first limitation. It's a lot of, first we did this, then we did this, and then this. As in the original Ant-Man, the writers lay on the fly-by-night technical jargon far too thick. The audience can and will follow along without all the word molasses. Hank and Hope need Scott Lang's help. Lang, played by Paul Rudd, has been under house arrest since the end of Civil War, and he only has a couple days left before he is a free man who can spend time with his daughter Cassie, played by Abby Ryder Fortson, and help get his startup security agency off the ground with his ex-con partner Luis, played by Michael Pena. Of course, Hank and Hope need Lang's help right now. No time to wait that extra pesky 24 hours of his house arrest. Lang marvels at the father-daughter shrinking office building where they store their portable laboratory, and he is also envious of Hope's upgraded Wasp uniform, complete with wings and a laser blaster. There are actually two villains in the film, but Walton Goggins plays the first one for gags, as a malicious gangster and arms dealer. The real antagonist is Ava, aka Ghost, played by Hannah John Kamen. Ava has a supernatural skill, which is more a problem leading her to her doom. She continuously morphs between a solid human being and something else. I'm not quite sure what it is. This problem slash fighting aid confounds Ant-Man and Wasp, because their punches and blasters go right through Ava. How can you stop something you cannot hit? Ava wants to steal the portable laboratory with its shrinking pod car thing to the quantum realm to cure herself. Plot hole alert. Ava needs Janet Van Dyne's quantum power to fix herself, but Hank and Hope must find Janet first. If Ava steals the lab and gets away, there's no way she can find Janet herself. It makes for nifty fighting, but the whys and hows do not add up. However, Ant-Man has a bit more to latch onto than a weak villain who only exists to help wind down a ticking clock. Michael Pena's Luis gets his chance to shine as a normal sidekick and gets the film's most effective extended laugh sequence as he narrates the first movie's events to where we are now, while under a truth serum. The riff is very well done, and plaudits all around to Peyton Reed and crew for following it along to a natural end. It's one of the funnier bits in the extended Marvel Cinematic Universe. Internet message boards are abuzz about Ant-Man and the Wasp with its About Time message. It's about time there's a female superhero fighting alongside a man. Well, yes and no. Wasp isn't the first female superhero in these films, but she earns some substantial screen time here. However, she is not a fully formed character with interests, likes, and dislikes. Half of her time is spent in an awkward will-they-or-won't-they romantic vibe with Lang, and the other half of her time is missing her mother and reminiscing about the past. Thumbs up for another female hero, but thumbs sideways for everything she gets to do. Lang gets the more emotional family scenes with his daughter, which turns out to be the glue in a movie hobbled by its bad guy and ho-hum rescue material. That is why I give Ant-Man and the Wasp 2 out of 4 stars.
Ant-Man and the Wasp is rated PG-13, now playing at Studio Movie Grill Seminole, Cobb Tyrone, Luxury 10, Regal Park Place, Stadium 16, Regal Largo Mall 8, AMC Sundial 20 in downtown St. Petersburg, and Cobb Countryside 12 Cinemas. Radio St. Pete.com film critic Charlie Jewell is a member of the Washington, D.C. Area Film Critics Association. To read more of Charlie's reviews online, visit charliejewell.com.